And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Fruit Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Trio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Jenny Lee of TripleConConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conja Manali of ConjaManali.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Lucianos of Lucianos at Lucianos.com from Baltimore, Maryland. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection, the traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at LuckyMojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conja Manali. Miss Kat?
Hi. Thank you, Tammy Lee. Second time I get to talk to you today. We're having a weird, watery hissing on the line, and we're not sure who it is. Someone said it sounds like fried eggs. Someone says it sounds like static. We're going to try to deal with that, but, you know, it takes a little time sometimes to work these problems out. It may be Miss Tammy Lee, and it can be Lucianos. So Nagashiva is going to start muting people one at a time, and whoever he just muted, that was it.
Okay. I'm still here with Kat.
Okay. Well, somebody got muted and the static went away. I loved it. Okay. That was a relief. So, Ollie, nice to be here with you again. And today we have as our guest Lucianos. And Lucianos, we're so glad to have you back from lovely, beautiful Baltimore.
Well, thank you so much. I'm going to call back in on the other line and see if that gets rid of the static, which I know
okay.
That's
right. It. Okay, it's Lucianos is the static. We have isolated
sorry
it.
Sorry about that.
No problem, no problem. I know we had you on another line and it sounded muffled, and now we've got static, and we prefer muffled to static. All right, so we'll get him back in just a second. All right. So, Ollie, right before the show started, you and I were talking about some of our interesting love clients we've had last week. We've found out in talking. I mentioned a very strange case that I was just reading for, and I'm not going to go into the details because I don't want to call anyone's name or embarrass anyone.
Right.
But it was a unique set of circumstances that would not be replicable. And I said, yes, I had this amazing reading for this woman who blah, 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 blah. And what did you say? You said, I read for her, too.
It was great. It's always wonderful when you find out that, you know, you have the same person that you read for or the same case. It's interesting, very interesting.
Well, you know what was most interesting was she didn't tell me she'd had a reading with you.
Right. This is true. And she didn't tell me that, she was intending to get a reading with you, but that's fine. One of the beauties of AIR is that we do encourage, to go to our fellow colleagues because we know that they'll be in the hands of someone who's ethical.
Yeah. Well, I found it amusing. I have no idea if we told her was copacetic, but I think it's very interesting that people who have a situation that is unusual, and her situation is unusual, You know, she just wanted to get more opinions. And in the chat room here at Blog Talk Radio, we have a very active chat room. And ZenRez says, did the readings match up? Well, ZenRez, we didn't have time to compare that. The show started. We don't know if the readings matched up. But I will, without calling her name, I'll just say, or naming her situation, because anyone would recognize this if I said it. I told her that money was an issue for him. That his wife really wasn't proud of him and didn't like him, and that it looked like there is a chance for them, but they have to have sex first, not just text sex. They have to have actual sex first, then they'll know. What did your reading say?
That's actually very on point to what my reading has said, so that's very funny. It seems like, well, I guess probably because we do the show together, we probably pick up on similar things. So that's great. It actually looks like it lined up. I did say the same thing.
I'm glad I didn't send her away confused.
Though I did have, probably our tones were slightly more different. I tend to be a little bit more like, look, you work to this day, and then that's it. Get over it. You know, I have that type of straightforward, try to be no nonsense.
Oh, I told her that too.
Oh, then wonderful. I think we're on the same page. That's excellent.
I had the nine of coins, and I told her
that's funny.
The grapes are out, and I said, you know, you got to have sex with him by late summer or early fall. And we're going to count. I said we can count that as either as the ninth month or 9 months from now, but don't let it go past that. That's what
that's
I told
so
her.
I said the exact same thing, not in the terms of sex, but I said by fall, I want you to have a deadline. Like by fall should be your deadline. If you're not with this guy, you know, that's it. So we even have the same timing almost, fall.
This is amazing. No, you know what's really funny, though? She never said, oh, I was told that already. She never said a thing. She just left me, you know, just shooting in the dark there.
That's funny. That is interesting. I always mention that it's great that people have multiple readings for members of AIR, but it is best to be transparent. Say, hey, you know, I have had a reading before with so-and-so, just because it helps keep things smooth. And we find that if you're open and honest with the reader, the quality of the reader is the reading is just that much better. You know, just a little tidbit for people who want to have multiple readings. Totally a great idea. Go for it. Just be upfront about it.
Yeah. It helps. Of course, on the other hand, sometimes it's scary to the reader. What if she'd said to me, I had a reading with Contraband Ali, and I'm not going to tell you what he said, so let's see if you agree with him. Oh, my God, the fear waves are going to come off of me when that happens, you know.
Yes. Testing readers is also not a good
idea.
Oh,
yeah, testing readers. So maybe it was better for me, I didn't know, but we did end up with the same answer. That's kind of interesting. Now, I know that you and I have influenced each other a lot. We've known each other for quite a while now, so we have different styles to begin with, but we've learned from each other. So
I think we're on the same page, you know, except for like, you know, when you are playing around with Mars oil, but generally we tend to be on the same page.
Yeah, we do. Well, I also, being a hard living, hard loving Taurus, I told her that this was a long distance relationship, and I told him that she better tell him to go buy a clean handkerchief and swipe it under his armpit and send it to her. I said nothing freaky deaky like his underpants or his t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Just I want her to smell his underarm aroma, because if she doesn't like it, this ain't even leaving the plane ain't leaving the runway, you know. better to do that than to spend all that money that she's going to have to hide from her husband to go have a meeting with this guy somewhere in God knows where the grapes are fruiting. And so that's what I told her. But that's just, you know, that's just Miss Cat being real. Anyway, it was a funny thing, though. It was just, you know, one of the things about being a professional reader, and a lot of people don't know this, is that especially the members of AIR, we do talk to each other. We do. I had a talk earlier today with Miss Tammy Lee, and she mentioned a name. Again, I'm not going to call the lady's name. I won't want to embarrass anybody. But she mentioned a gal who got some advice from her and didn't pay up. And in fact, she had done some work for this lady, and I wrote that lady's name down. It's not a name I ever heard before, but that lady's now in my list too. And that's one of the things that you know, with AIR, if people don't pay up, and that they, if they cheat or if they lie to their reader, and especially that, you know, that can be a problem. You know, you can't cheat the whole group of us.
So. Yeah, that's true. Now, Ms. Michael brought up an interesting point, and maybe we can get Lukianos to weigh in, and, you know, three readers get some opinions. They were talking about when two readers or multiple readers say different things. When one reader says yes, yes, and the other reader says no, no, what goes on there? And that's an interesting question, Ms. Michael, and that's an interesting, I think it was Mary B. that was also discussing it.
Yeah.
It is.
Well,
and what I always say to clients...
Gets into what question was actually asked of each reader.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know? And you think, well, it's like, well, they asked the same question. Are you sure about that? Because I can tell you right now that in many cases when one is reading, as a reader, I don't necessarily know everything. And so I have to, you know, create a logical chain of questions, a logical chain of reasoning, and try to figure out what's going on from the answers I get back from my divination. Now, if those two readers are assuming different things because the question is vague or the question isn't clear, or if there's one aspect of the question that was changed, not saying that it's misrepresenting the situation, but maybe there's a detail that if you change it, it changes the outcome of the question, even if it doesn't change the nature of the outcome. So the person who asked, you know, am I going to find, you know, my husband, you know, the person who's going to be my husband by next summer? And and that's the question that the reader is asking, and that's the assumption that the reader is making. Whereas the other reader is looking at, you know, will I find, you know, my long-term partner by next summer?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
if there's no marriage in the future, even if it does end up being a long-term relationship, one reader's going to get a yes, the other reader's going to get a no. Is the outcome significantly different? Well, a lot of people would say no, not really. But that's why really identifying the question that's being asked and being, in some cases, being really specific can make a world of difference. And that's also why it's a good idea to let someone know that you've had a reading with someone else and what, you know, the nature of that reading was.
Absolutely. I couldn't
agree with you. That is so true. And this woman that I read for, she actually had emailed me her questions, and they were significantly out of order. In other words, question number three was, will we get married? And question number five or six were, what can I do for us to get our dreams to come true? I'm like, whoa, you know, you got the cart before the horse. And and in fact, the cart of the chariot came up. And the chariot is often the cart before the horse. In other words, they're not even hooked up. So we can't be asking, will they get married? We first have to get them in the same hotel bed, you know, in this particular case. You know. But the chariot did reveal something, though. Because the chariot is two sphinxes on my deck, right away deck, a white sphinx and a black sphinx. And I said, you two are of different races. And she said, yes. So that was interesting. I mean, you know, the chariot told what it could, but it also said cart before the horse. It's just interesting how these things work out. You know, and I often will tell a person, let me ask the questions because your questions are incoherent. I'll tell them, you know, like here on the show, we have Miss Tammy Lee reading out their questions. Why do we do that? People say, well, you know, it's so formal, it's so whatever. The reason we have Miss Tammy Lee read those questions, because people will sometimes ask a question for half an hour before they get to the question. Because they're thinking about it as it affects their whole life. I mean, you know, what's my mother going to say and my friends and I got a job and da-da-da and, you know, whatever there's going on here and I have two job offers. And they can't focus down to a question. A lot of times Joseph Magnuson will get in on the forum and will edit people's questions to make them very concise. But sometimes when I'm reading in person, and I'm sure you two do this as well, when I'm reading in person for someone, I'll say, may I phrase your question for you? Because, you know, they'll of course, I'll ask the question, and I say, well, that's not exactly the question. I say, okay, well, then let's work on what the phrasing of the question is, because most divination signs really are keyed to the question that you ask. It's not like,
absolutely,
you know what I mean? It's not like you can just, if you are limiting yourself to a divination system that just uses a yes or no answers, right? Like tossing a coin, or maybe one of the more complicated ones, like the Obi shells, right? They give a yes and a no, and a real positive yes and a real negative no, and so forth.
And yet, even with that, you can get into layers and gradations of meaning, and you find out that, well, actually, you can get a maybe out of them too.
Right.
So,
yeah, but it's so. But when you're using a system like that of divination, people tend to ask a very precise question, because they're expecting it to be yes or no. But when they're given the whole, you know, like here's your tarot reader with all these tarot cards, whoa, they'll often just sometimes just talk and go in all different directions, and the answers will be in all different directions too.
Very true. And readers see things differently. People need to understand that being a reader, being a psychic, being a clairvoyant doesn't equal omniscient. It doesn't.
That's right.
We have our different perspectives. And then this also goes back to something that I tell clients about working with multiple readers. It's all right to go to one or two readers. But, for example, in this past month, I had a young lady who had probably been to about 50 readers in a period of a month. And she was getting all sorts of answers. She was getting yeses and nos. She was getting specific dates. Some were agreeing, some were disagreeing. And she said, I don't know what's going on. And the first thing I said to her is, stop getting so many readings. The way I view reading is that you're looking into a river, and sometimes you have to reach your hand in and kind of move it back and forth to clear out the debris so you can see clearly into the river. But if you keep shaking that up, all you're doing is bringing up the mud from down below and making it murky and impossible to see. So when you go to one reader, they kind of put their hand in there, and they move it back and forth. They clear away the debris enough. They can see clearly into the water. The second reader does the same thing, but then when you start getting into the third, the fourth, the fifth, all they're doing is they're bringing up muck, and at that point it's impossible to clear. Then there's also the theory of what spiritualists say. Spiritualists will say flat out that if you get too many readings, you're starting to offend the spirits, and they will give you confusing answers. You know, one spiritualist told me, crap comes in, crap goes out. You know, you piss them off and they'll give you crap answers. So that's something to bear in mind. You want to go with one reader, two readers, someone you really resonate with, and then expect the fact that their perspective and your questions will shade the reading.
Yeah. I mean, we're people, after all.
Yep, absolutely.
We are.
And, in the chat room there was some question here about, does Obi ever change the question when you're asking it? And Lukianus, you posted there, Obi does indeed have a perspective of its own, but usually when it changes the subject, it means I'm asking the wrong question. Explain what you mean about that. What do you mean about asking the wrong question?
So there are really two instances where Obi, quote-unquote, changes the subject. One is when you have, a gsabbo come up. So this is, four mouths down. And there are a couple of different reasons that this can come up. One is that question is closed. We're not going any further with that. Two, the dead or some other spiritual entity wishes to speak through them, in which case that's sort of a break to sort of get your attention and ask who it is that wants to speak now. Or it can be Ames was observing that they need to be refreshed. So that because we're working with a system that comes out of West Africa, the notion is of cool, cleansing water. And so the idea is when something gets, overly hot or overly worked up, that in order to regain clarity, you have to cool it down, which is why I keep my shells in a cool bowl of water in between tosses. But more often than not, What I mean usually when I say about Obi changing the subject is I'll ask a series of questions that I think make sense based on what I understand of the situation, but I'll get answers that don't make sense in terms of how they're paired. And I'll look at that and I'll think to myself, okay, let's assume that given the questions that I asked and the answers that I got, that all of these things are correct. What would have to be the case in order for that to be true? And that's basically to change the model that I'm using in asking the questions, you know? That's what I mean by it means that I'm asking the wrong question. It means that I'm assuming something that may not actually be the case. It may not actually represent the situation. And then it's up to me as the leader to rethink it, step back, and then ask questions to clarify and figure out, you know, what I'm not understanding about the situation.
Yeah. Yeah, that is key. That's really important. I understand what you're saying, too, because the inclination of the newcomer to divination is to doubt the system of divination, such as, oh, tarot doesn't work for me because I can't make these two cards make sense. But if you step back and say, these two cards make sense, how did I ask the question that allowed these two cards to come up? Often you'll see it. And that's what when you really are learning divination, when you trust the divination system, whatever system it is.
It's not about reading the signs in the divination. It's about asking the right questions in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Honestly, learning how to ask the right question is far more difficult than learning how to read the oracle itself.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's why often I will let a person talk when they come to me for a reading. I'll let them talk, and I say, I'm going to give you 1 free minute. No charge on this minute. I want you to talk for 1 minute or two if they seem like they need it. I'm going to talk for 2 minutes, and now we're going to come up with a question, rather than let them ask that question at the beginning and have it be the wrong question.
Mm-hmm.
So give them extra time so that we get to a question, which brings us to the fact that we're already 3 minutes over our time to get to the next question, which is, we have
people.
Well,
what a wonderful topic.
Well, it's a topic we could probably have a whole show on this, but we have people lined up who've signed up, and so Miss Tammy Lee, why don't you bring in our first caller?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, and this week's special guest Lukianos will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones to take our first client. And our first client is calling from area code 415 from San Francisco, California.
It's me.
Turbo, are you there with us, caller?
I am here.
Great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief synopsis of your case. And he writes, my ex, who I have carried intense feelings for many years, recently contacted me about my personal training services with the added message he's having personal problems, and he has, in parentheses, drugs, and this would help him stay out of trouble. I've thrown at this person good and bad energies, and in some twisted way, I got what I wanted, but can't help but think this is a setup for more heartache. I'm curious about his motive and want to know if I should continue with this. I'm committed to 3 weeks only. Much thanks, P.S. We are two men. Turning it back over to you.
Whoa. All righty. So let me see if I understand this. First of all, how do you pronounce your name?
Well, you know, it's a play on my actual last name. I say Turbo.
Turbo. Okay, fine. Turbo. Great. Okay, Turbo. So your ex says he's having trouble with drugs and... And you've had this is a problem. You've got a
well.
History
well, I mean,
that
first of all, I mean that's we've already kind of moved past that. I blew up at him on Friday.
I see. All right.
So we've already kind of, I really didn't even make it to 3 weeks.
Oh,
so I kind
okay.
of answered my own question there. But at the same time, it's time to really kind of end this. So
yeah. Well,
I would just want some like clarity on the situation and how to rise above it.
Okay. All right. So now you're no longer asking, is it going to work? Because it already didn't work by the time we got you on the radio show.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's fine. Isn't it amazing how those things just move on sometimes? All right. So instead of doing a three-card cut, I'm just going to do one card from what I, you know, see. And we're going to focus more, in your case, on some root work and some spiritual work. Interesting card I have here. Interesting card. This person doesn't want it to be over even yet. It's the Four of Swords. And this is a sarcophagus with a carving of a knight on it, dead, on the lid of the sarcophagus. But the sarcophagus lid is open. So I think this is not the end yet. You may still hear from this person sometime in time.
Okay.
Okay? I'm just telling you, I'm just saying, you may that want it to
sense.
Be over, but this person is not done yet. All right, so that's my quick look at it. Lukianus, what do you see?
Well, it's funny. I was pulling cards as McKenny was leading off the description of the situation. And in order, I got the Eight of Coins, or Eight of Discs. I'm using the soft deck today. The
mm-hmm.
patience. I have the Five of Wands in the present, so strife, which I would say is reflective of the blow-up that you all had on Friday. And
mm-hmm.
interestingly enough, I have the Princess of Cups, which corresponds to the Page of Cups in the Rider Waite deck, which, as we both know, is a message. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you're probably going to hear from this guy again.
Yeah. So there's still something on the guy's part, there's still something going on here.
Well, this has been going on. I mean, our relationship ended 5 years ago, and it just seems that every 9 months, whenever he's sick or feels bad, he calls me up and kind of sucks me back in, and I kind of just end up going along and
right.
getting hurt, and it's just more about anger, and it's unresolved emotions for me.
Right.
I just did a quick throw of Obi. Cut
yeah.
and clear, darling, please, for your own good. Cut and clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ollie, what do you see here?
What
would you recommend?
Right. Trebo, I have a question for you. You said you've thrown good and bad energies at him. Now, do you mean that you've done work to draw him back and work to curse and cross him? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. What I'm sensing...
Not so much to draw him back. I mean, not on purpose, but...
Mm-hmm. But you've done cursing work, crossing work, but things aimed in that general direction. Now, Reverend Deborah Joy says, oh, psychic vampire run. While normally I would agree in that circumstance, what I would actually say is that this is a slightly different situation. What I sense is that this can be a result of the fact that you have connection to this person that you've been cursing and crossing and doing good work and bad work, and so it's up and down. And that's reflective of, you know, the relationship in of itself. The man hits rock bottom, he gets sick, he gets ill, and he comes back. To a certain extent, it's almost like an in tranquility spirit type scenario. You know, you've cursed this guy to the degree where whenever he hits rock bottom, he comes back to the source. You know, you've
mm-hmm.
created that psychic connection, so to speak, with this person through your desire to get revenge. My recommendation for this, first and foremost, is a hyssop bath. Cleanse yourself of the work that you've done, because in a sense, that work is coming back to roost. You know, it's coming back. Get it out of your life. To give yourself a nice hyssop bath, say, I'm done with this. I cleanse away myself. I'm pure of snow. Of all the negative I've done, all the sins I've done, I cleanse myself. And then
yeah.
cut and clear. Now, if you were a gentle-hearted person, I would probably go a step further and uncross him. Remove the mess so that he no longer hits rock bottom and comes back to you. You know, let go of that hurt so that he can move on and you can move on. Cleanse yourself, follow it up with a cut and clear, uncross this man and let him go on his way. Because your curses, your crossing, your roots are bringing this man back. okay? And it's time for you both to go your separate ways.
Yeah, I'm seeing something here that you have kind of tied yourself in by the energies that you've put in.
Yes.
And I like what Ollie said, to use the hyssop bath. And then Raz asks in the chat room, are there any psalms to recite? Yes, of course. The 51st psalm is the psalm we say, cleanse me with hyssop. In a sense, you have used a little bit too much power and have done a little bit of overkill and incurred what would be called a kind of a link here, but it's now a negative link. And I would also say you've given this person good over the years, and you may be one of the few people who has given this person good. And so I would go even a step further. After the hyssop bath, you know me, I always recommend the black walnut bath. This is a bath where you would prepare black walnuts. Do you know what I'm talking about, Trebo?
I have read that spell, yes.
Okay.
Good.
It's an easy one to do.
This isn't the one where you throw them, or?
No, this is the one where you boil up. Okay, I'll go through it real quick. You take 9 black walnuts, and they should be in their husks. They don't have to be fresh. When they're fresh, the husks are green, but the husks will just dry on them like leather and crackly. And you just get 9 walnuts, and you're going to boil them in water, and it will make a dark brown water. And you're going to bathe with that. You can read it online at luckymojo.com/cutandclear.html. And cut and clear is all one word, all lowercase, all run together. luckymojo.com/cutandclear.html has the black walnut spell. If you need walnuts, we sell them for $3 a package for 9 walnuts. It's a bargain. But it's a very old spell. I've learned it over the years from a number of people. It's a variation of it is in Draja Mikaharik's spiritual cleansing book, and a lot of people have heard it through that. It's a popular down-home hoodoo spell, and it works very, very well. And this is to cut away all your feelings, both your helpfulness, your guilt, on the one hand, which are the positive emotions, guilt because you still want to help, your compassion, your helpfulness, remnants of possible love. And then on the other side, it's going to cut away your anger. It's going to cut away your feelings of being used or abused. It's just going to cut everything away. And so it's a way of breaking a bond, and I recommend it very highly. Anybody else have another suggestion other than the black walnut smell?
I definitely agree with the black walnut working. Black walnut, what I don't know is that it's great for cutting emotional bonds, but if there's a protective element to it because it turns into it gets reduced to almost like a gel, a filmy gel almost, when you boil it. And it actually will protect you from creating that connection ever again. So it's a really great working. And on a spiritual level, it does also remove that parasitic bond that you've created through this cycle of works. So I further put an emphasis on that. And then I would follow that up because, I was taught whenever you take something out, put something back in. After doing all these cleansing works and removing the works from him, do something for yourself. Do a love drawing work. Dress, take a bath at them, come to me, bath crystals, or love me, bath crystals. So that you can step forth and find a new, wholesome relationship, and you can leave the past behind you, okay? But I'm just sensing that baths is really going to be the way to go for you.
I have something else to comment on here. In the chat room, some of our people who are professional readers and root workers, like Nadia and Benedicta and Ames, all of whom are professional people in this field, have mentioned there's still some kind of underlying hope link, something that is not that has to be destroyed, and also that you need to understand that there will be an emptiness when you do this black walnut spell. And I'm going to say one other thing. It may be important. It may not. You're just going to have to try this. Do you have any objects that this person gave you, gifts, things that they gave you, photos that they gave you of themselves, statuary that have faces or eyes upon it that they gave you?
I've got rid of pretty much everything except for one thing, which is a bicycle.
you might want to wash that bicycle. I'm not saying get
okay.
rid of the bicycle. I'm saying wash the bicycle. There is, you know, when you say, I've gotten rid of pretty much everything, okay, that's good. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes there's those little things. Oh, that wonderful little tea caddy with the little enamel design that was from England, and you've already forgotten, you know, you've had it for 15 years, and, oh, my God, he was the one who gave me that tea caddy, and I'm staring at it right now. You know, you got to wash those things if you don't get rid of them.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay? Absolutely.
Yeah. There's something you know connected with that bicycle, and you know washing it, bathing it, and cleansing it is an important task. You also might want to see how you feel about it afterwards. It may, you know, you may have some. Whatever, you know, somebody in the chat room, Reverend Dr. Sweet said, burn it. No, just kidding. I don't tell people to go overboard and burn everything, but I've done it myself. I've also broken things that I really liked. Remember, you can always buy another one on eBay. Okay?
Would selling it be...
That's good.
I don't know.
Selling it
okay,
is
good. Okay,
good.
I think that's... Yeah. That I've been thinking of anyway.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
There
sell
you
it,
go.
I mean, I had a
fine.
Mattress that he gave me. I did get rid of that.
God,
well,
see,
gosh.
That's what we're talking about. A mattress,
yeah.
My Lord.
Yeah. The connections to those are really strong.
Yeah, and if you do have to cleanse things, use Chinese wash. You could also maybe use a little of the black walnut liquid as well. Okay?
Okay.
All righty. Good luck,
Kim. All right,
Kim.
That all sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, all right. Okay, well, that was an interesting one, and one that we don't hear too often. And I'm glad it all resolved itself before actually we had to resolve it. And I like it when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, Miss Tammy Lee, who's up next?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and we will go ahead and take our next caller. But just a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is brought to you each week by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. Lucky Mojo manufactures and distributes all the paraphernalia of hoodoo and conjure, including anointing oils, sachet powders and incense, crystal salt for spiritual baths and floor wash, herbs, resins, waters and colognes, roots, zoological and mineral curios, books, candles, and religious goods, folkloric amulets, talismans and charms. Drop by if you're in the area or find us online at luckymojo.com. Now let's go ahead and return to those callers who signed up to be on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And our next client is calling in from area code 775. This is Miss Realty Girl. Are you there, caller? From Reno, Nevada.
I am.
Welcome to the show.
I am. Welcome.
I'm going to go ahead and read a brief description of your case. And she actually was on the show last year, and she's had a reading from Conjumentally 3 or 4 months ago. She writes, I'm starting a new job after a horrible year of harassment. I want to know if this job will be a good fit for me and works to ensure this will be good for me. Turning it back over to you.
Hi, Ms. Realty Girl.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, it's short and sweet. I like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Ollie, go ahead and read for her. You're her reader.
Here I am. I have a quick question for you. What job are you starting? Is it real estate? Is that why you're Miss Realty Girl?
Actually, it's another branch of real estate.
Okay.
I deal in... like condominiums, you know, property management.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. I've pulled 3 cards here, and I'm going to read the tarot for this particular situation. The first card that we get is the Queen of Wands, and this shows a matriarch sitting on a throne with lions in the background on a tabard, and she's got a sunflower in her hand, a staff in the other hand. She's looking towards the future. She's in the desert, and you can see the pyramids off in the background. And she's got a black cat at her feet. And this is the card that represents you. You are a strong woman, a woman who knows what she wants, who isn't afraid to go what you want? And more importantly, do you have some latent spiritual abilities that you can tap into to really help yourself succeed in this situation? I believe Miss Cat calls this card the witchy card sometimes on this show, and I agree with her. She's got that black cat that indicates she does have some witchy powers. So you have that ability. Now, this card also has a sexual component. All the wands do. Just like the cup cards are emotional, the wands for me always have this sexual component. So it talks about the sexual harassment that's in the past, because it's the past card, and it forms the foundation of the present and how you're moving forward. The next card that we get, and it's interesting, every single card that I got is a court card, right? The next card is the King of Swords, and this shows a man sitting on a stone throne, and he's got a sword that he's holding at an incline, and he's wearing a pale blue and purple robe, and he's a stern monarch, and behind him, you know, there's the beginnings of storm clouds. Unlike the Justice card, which the sword is held upright, straight, this one's held at an angle. So this tells me that you're a bit hesitant and worried about this new position, because you have had negative experiences in the past. You've had some difficulties with, you said, sexual harassment. And so there's a part of you that's a little worried. You're concerned that this shift may not be right for you. So this is the card of being on guard, prepared for the worst, so to speak. And this card also tells me that you know, you should consider possibly legal ramifications of sexual harassment that you dealt with, so that there is a chance that you may be able to take legal action if you are so inclined. But this card does talk about hesitation, about being a little bit, you know, worried. So I can understand where you're coming from, especially with the shift in this new career. But that the final card is a very positive card and tells us this is the card for you. I mean, this is the career for you, the card for you. The Queen of Cups comes up, another court card, and this shows a beautiful woman sitting on a stone throne, and the waters of the sea are lapping at her feet, and she's got her in her hands a goblet. The goblet is very interesting. It's the only goblet in the entire deck that is enclosed. In fact, it looks a little bit like the Ark of the Covenant with two little cherubs on the side. And this woman is peering through the enclosure into the contents within. This is a good job for you. It's going to help bring serenity to you. You're going to be comfortable in this new position. I know you're a little hesitant and you're a little bit worried, but it is going to be good for you. But more importantly, I sense this is going to give you an opportunity to really explore yourself, what you want in your life, and if it's going to provide that for you. And the card, this card tells us that yes, not only will this be a card with a, not only will this career be good in terms of being a good environment for you, but more importantly, it will bring you the serenity, security, and that you require. At first, I sense that financially things won't always be there. For up until the sense that I'm getting is probably going to be around the October time, that you're not going to be getting the finances that you want, but that you will get a good sense of fulfillment, and emotionally it will be the job that you want. And then around September, the finances will start to kick in. Does this make sense to you?
Yes, sounds good.
Well, let's turn it over to my colleagues and see if what they pick up on this, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, Ollie did such a great job of reading that. I mean, there's almost nothing more I can add. I'm just going to do what I call a one-card pull here. And this is the Ace of Wands. And this just tells me that you need to keep your strength up, that you need to be physically, you know, a bit on the defensive, and you need to actually do some physical work as well as spiritual work about keeping your courage and keeping your strength. I think that the past experiences should not weigh on you if you build your own courage up. I would recommend whatever kind of protection work you do in this new situation, that you might want to add Crucible of Courage or some kind of very strengthening thing if you feel at all like that things may repeat on you. Does that make sense? You get where I'm going at here?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So just some kind of a defensive measure, but that's really based on strength. Let's bring Lukianos in here and see what can actually be done around the job for this kind of, you know, making friends is the positive view of it, and not making enemies is the inverse of that. And then on the other side, there's driving off enemies and protecting your own area. So, Lukianos, what do you think?
Thank you, Ms. Kat. So, as you may or may not have heard in the background, I've been sort of throwing Obi about various types of interventions. And I guess one of the things that I asked about is like, well, is this really sort of a steady work type of thing? And actually, no, it's not. And it's not really a honey jar type of situation either. What really seems to be coming up as a recurring theme is building your own personal power. Building your own personal power, working for your own personal protection. So Ms. Kat's recommendation about crucible of courage types of things, and I would add to that things like angelica root. I would add to that things like gravel root, which is also known as queen of the meadow. And also, although it's like, well, you know, it's like, wouldn't you go with, say, Queen Elizabeth route? Not in this case. I would actually recommend looking more towards what I call the John family of roots. So this would be John the Conqueror, Little John to choose, Southern John, which is Trillium, and combine those with Queen of the Meadow and Angelica. And these are really meant to give you, to really solidify your foundation and give you help resolve some of the uncertainty that comes from a concern that one might be at a disadvantage. Courage really works in multiple ways. The first is that it actually gives you a certain amount of strength of character to move forward with. But the second thing that it does is it reduces your anxiety. If you have power, you don't have to expend energy being anxious about being weak. And in this, and that really is key. So I would say that certainly your prospects in this new job look excellent. But the two things that you want to do for yourself will involve doing consistent work. Personally, I would recommend burning a candle for yourself at least on a weekly basis. And this could be dressed with crucible of courage. This could be dressed with crown of success. This could be dressed with protection oils. But always keep a light on for yourself, first and foremost. Secondly, if you're comfortable doing so, you might consider carrying a mojo bag or a jack ball. Again, I would base it on the three types of roots that I mentioned, the angelica root, gravel root, a.k.a. Queen of the Meadow, and either John the Conqueror or Southern John types of roots. And, you know, so this is just sort of a pocket piece that you just keep with you, either in your pocket or in your purse. And it's something that is in your corner. And having an ally goes a long way towards both resolving any anxiety that you may feel, as well as, you know, providing a little bit of backup if you happen to wander into a conversation or a situation where you're not necessarily at an advantage.
Yeah.
And beyond that, again, what we're looking at here is work over the long term. You're not going to do just one thing and say, okay, that's all I need to do. You're going to do consistent work to cleanse yourself, to keep your spirits up, and then protect yourself. So really sort of hitting all three of those areas on a regular basis, I personally suggest to people to sort of work it into just their weekly routine. You know, it can all be on the same day, or it can be, you know, one thing on different days, but the same day every week, so consistency. And I think this will go a long way towards both resolving any fears that you may have and also really giving yourself permission and the opportunity to, you know, jump into this job feet first and, you know, enjoy yourself and, you know, do your work well.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That was very good, especially the anxiety part. I really have actually didn't see the doctor due to anxiety, so.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Well, you know, something that was said here is very interesting because you're a female, and, you know, sometimes some workers feel like, oh, I'm not going to recommend John Roots to a female. But John Roots are used by women, and they are used by men for male sexual potency. But the three Johns, two of those three Johns have distinct female components. Southern John, also known as Birth Root, is used medically for women given birth. And Little John to Chew is more like Mercury. It's more, the planet Mercury. It's more neutral. It's ambisexual, and it is really does help anxiety, and it is what's called a stomachic. And when you chew it, it's very peppery, gingery flavored root, but you can. It'll help your calm your stomach, and some of those flutters in your stomach from anxiety will go away medically if you use that Little John to Chew. And there are some ideas in that are very, very good. We do make a Three Johns Jack Ball, and it is usually made with those Three Johns and then some other things. If you asked for it to be made with extra gravel root in it and angelica root, we would do so because each one of those is custom made, and you could carry that on you. Another thing to think about is an old spell using Master Root. Now, Master Root is another one in the Angelica family. They're very closely related. And if you take a piece of Master Root, it can just be a piece as long as your little finger or longer, and you tie to it broom straws that you have named for each person in the workplace. In other words, you have, let's say you have Joe, Betty, and Bob in the workplace, and you take broom straw, and you call, you say, this is Bob, and Bob to me you will always be. You will do what I tell you to do. You will go where I tell you to go. You will think as I tell you to think. In all ways, you will be Bob to me. And you go to the next, this is Betty. Betty you are, and Betty will always be to me. In other words, you baptize each one of those broom straws. And now you take, and then you have one, the Master Root, and that one is, a piece of Master Root, like a little log of Master Root. They can be as big as your finger or longer. And you say, I am the master of this situation. This root is me. I am Reality Girl or whatever your name is. And this root represents me. And then you start tying with a sewing thread. You use a real, just a little white sewing thread. And you start wrapping these broom straws up. And as you wrap them up, Bob, you will adhere to me. You will do what I say. You will follow my lead. You will always support me. It's not a controlling. It's not a commanding. It's mastering the situation. You will be bound to me. Your good fortune will be my good fortune. My good fortune will be yours. But you will defer to me. And you bind in the next one. You bind them all up together. You'll end up with a little packet of all of these guys bound to you. You tie it with knots. You can work by the light of a little candle, and you can pour a little of the wax on. And Miss Michael laughs at me in the chat room. She said, I called her Reality Girl, and you're our Realty Girl. And she said, maybe it's time for a nickname change. Well, maybe it is. It's Realty Girl. I'm sorry. In any case, what we want to do is get these people bound to you. And when you have that thing made, you can then go one step further. If where you work you can bring in houseplants, you can take that whole thing and bury it in the pot and plant a houseplant on it, okay? And bring that plant in to where you work. If you can't have houseplants, you know, bring in an artificial houseplant and put it in the pot. You want that thing around where those people are going to be, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Excellent suggestion.
Yeah.
Thank you all. Thank you all.
Yeah. I really like the idea also of your continuing to use Crucible of Courage and you know, just anointing yourself with that. You can blend Crucible of Courage with Crown of Success. They work well together. Okay?
The only addition that I have that just before we end is adding, and these are excellent, excellent suggestions, and I absolutely love the mix of the Angelica with the Queen of the Meadows and the Johns, because I think that balance is perfect with the cards that we got. is adding a little bit of deer's tongue, because I think that you speak to anxiety, and we see that with that King of Swords. We are almost hesitant to speak to authority to a certain extent, and deer's tongue will bring out your eloquence, but more importantly, it will literally give your tongue back. So that when you do have the courage developed from the work that Ms. Cat and Lukianos gave you, that you have the voice to speak up with that courage. So add that deer's tongue to your work also.
That's a really, really good suggestion. Deer's tongue is always good. And you can bathe with it as well. And it's not toxic. And if you add a little tiny pinch of it to some tea, it's not bad for you either. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Thank you all.
Okay, Realty Girl, and we'll be thinking of you. If you also want to go to the Crystal Silence League and post a little prayer there for success, and you'll have hundreds of people praying for you and sending you little messages for the months to come, where they are praying for your success. So good luck to you.
Good luck.
All right. Miss Tammy Lee. Take it away.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. And support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of Missionary Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is Earth Witch, and Earth Witch is calling from area code 919 from Durham, North Carolina. Earth Witch, are you there with this caller? Earth Witch? Earth Witch, can you hear me?
The caller is live.
She was in the chat room earlier, I believe.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
One more time.
Okay. Do you want to go on to the next one?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. Absolutely. And Earthwitch, if you like, just go ahead and call the number that I've given to you previously that we posted up there for you. Our next caller is going to be Newbie 1967. This is area code 819 from Raleigh, North Carolina. This is Newbie 1967. Newbie, are you there with us, caller?
Just
Newbie?
One moment. Just a moment.
Yes, sir.
We got...
There they are.
Okay.
919 is the area code.
Yeah, 919. Is it there?
They both had area code 919, but she had PM'd me and said it was 819. So,
I think the caller's on the line.
Okay, great. Is this Newbie 1967 from Raleigh, North Carolina?
Yes, the number is actually 919, and the first digits were 819 because they were trying to distinguish the two of us.
Okay, great.
Okay. So, hi, Newbie.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
Welcome to the show, and I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for our host, okay? And she writes,
okay.
I've had a string of bad luck. In less than 6 months, I've gotten 2 speeding tickets, and this morning I failed to notice a red light and ran it. It happened to be one of those which has a camera, so I'll get a fine in the mail. Even though I'm guilty of running the red light because I failed to notice it for whatever reason, I was not guilty with speeding tickets and do not have a history of getting speeding tickets. I've also had a lot of trouble with people at work lately who I usually get along with for what appears to be for no apparent reason. Turning it back over to you.
I'm sorry.
All right. So, Lukianos, what do you have to say about this one?
Okay, well, hello, maybe 1967. So about how long has this string of bad luck been afflicting you?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
I'm sorry, how long has this string of bad luck been happening to you?
Probably for about 6 months now.
About 6 months, okay.
Yeah.
And do you have any suspicions about the source of it?
There's one coworker that I don't get along with, and it could possibly be her, but, I mean, I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. I even took an uncrossing bath, the 13 herb bath this morning before I ran that red light, and it was actually on the way home from disposing of the water when this happened.
Oh, my.
Interesting. That's
a bad sign, honey. That's what we call a bad sign. Yeah, that's no good. If you're supposed to be doing cleansing work and you're disposing of the water and on the way home you run a red light and get caught on it because you didn't see the light, someone is opposing your work.
Mm.
Wouldn't you say
well,
that, so, Luciana?
That's what I thought.
I
only had one 13-hour bath, which
that.
I used, and I've got it. I ordered 13 days from LM, and yesterday I called and they said that they shipped it, I guess, Friday, so it's on its way to me, but
good.
I guess, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
good.
You could tell me what my deal is.
Okay. So I did a quick consultation with Obi. So I asked, you know, well, is it the coworker? And what I got was, maybe. It's like, it may be true that there's someone at work who's not fond of you, but I then asked, well, is it someone else? And the answer is yes. Is it family? No. Not friends. Okay. Is there an ex in your past who might have had something to do with this? Because that's what I'm getting a solid yes to.
Yeah.
I actually did wonder if it was him, but I didn't know that he was into anything like this.
He
may know more than he's letting on, because I just asked, well, is he having someone else do the work for him? It's like, no.
He's done other things to me lately, so I've wondered if it could be him, but okay.
Well, first things first, cleanse and put down some protection for yourself. I know that the 13-hour bath didn't work so well this time. It hopefully will work better in the future. But I would also be looking at your immediate personal space.
Okay.
And in particular, I would be looking for things that might have been buried or just sort of, you know, placed. If there are any objects that this person gave you in the past, I would look at those very carefully and at the very least cleanse them. Okay. This does look like something where it was set down so that you would walk over it. Some fear not to walk over evil would probably be a useful thing for yourself, just as sort of, you know, daily self-care types of things.
I love that sound.
I'm getting sort of a very conditional. It's like, well, is it, you know, on the grounds around where you might be living? Not really in the house itself. It's your car. It's your car. Clean your car.
That's what I was wondering, because that would be the only thing he would have access to would be my car, because
uh-huh.
I mean.
Uh-huh. Clean your car. I'm not talking a standard car wash, I'm talking, you know, taking some Chinese wash, making sure that you hit the handles, making sure that you hit the tires, and just sort of give it a good once over and then put some fiery wall of protection on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say one more thing, too, because although I was just sort of diddling around here with my bones, and I just, you know, I just thought, well, I'll just follow along and see what happens. The car key also. My little key came out. With the little hand, the little doll hand reaching to the key, like trying to grab that key, the car, but don't forget the car key, okay?
Excellent advice.
I should have had access to my car key is my question.
What'd you say?
I said, how could he have had access to my car key?
How could he have had access to your car key? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, did you know when people? What'd you say? Well,
his
you know.
Well, it's not always access to the car key. It's always not access to the car key. It can be just he may have laid out powders for your car, but you when you cleanse a car, that key is attached to your car.
Mm-hmm.
You cleanse that key just as much as you cleanse the
car. And also keep in mind, he could have dressed the lock on the car.
Yeah.
And so there are ways that he could have gotten something on that key without having to physically handle the key.
That's correct. In other words, you can put oil or powder in the lock of a car, a door, and the key will get in it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying the key came out. I'm not saying that this guy's in your house stealing, opening your purse. I'm just saying clean your dang car key, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you put something
on
the lock and now there's something on the car key, that car key travels with you, you know? And so that's, again, it's just one more reason to, as Ms. Kat said, clean the key as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to say something else here, too, because this is a situation where you have received a bad sign after doing a cleansing. And I want to just talk very briefly about that, if I may. When this happens, when someone does a cleansing, and you know the cleansing is a piece of work, but right after or during that work, something bad happens, that is a sign that not that the work is failing per se, but that you definitely have an enemy, that there is something working against you. In other words, it's not just a vague, oh, I wandered into some quicksand and I'm sinking. But when people call for a reading and their phone cuts out over and over, when people say, well, I did a candle and it exploded, the wax went everywhere and almost caught the house on fire. When people say, well, I did a bath and I went to dispose of the water and all of a sudden I ran a red light, that means there is active opposition, all right? So just keep that in mind, that there is more going on here than you thought. And now the interesting thing is it is all around this car, around the speeding tickets, around the red lights. This is your weakness also. In other words, it's your weakness. Yes, say that again, Lukianis. I missed it.
That's the point of contact. That's where he can reach her.
Yes.
And
so he's
taken advantage of that. And I would also mention that if he's working actively, that means you need to be working for your own cleansing and protection actively as well. So if he's working without ceasing day and night, you need to be working to protect yourself unceasingly day and night.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I agree 100% with Lukianis. The card that came up for me right off the bat were the lovers in the past. This is related to an ex. The five of wands, competition and being attacked, and three of swords. He's the one doing, you know, it's from this heartbreak. He's the one, your ex is the one doing. And I know you say, oh, he didn't seem like he could be the type. But, darling, let me tell you something. I used to tease. I had a student once that I was teaching, and from North Carolina, and I used to tease that there's more people doing roots in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia than in any other place in the United States. I kid you not. I have traveled through North Carolina and South Carolina, and everybody, even if they don't know what's conjured, know a little bit about roots. They know what to chew. They know what to throw. They know, you know, you piss them off, and you bet you they're going to get their Bibles out. You know, these people know. So they may not know it as conjure or spell casting or root work, but they know a bit here or there. So you'd be surprised at who over there knows about roots in that entire area. Not just North Carolina. North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. I kid you. Everyone goes, New Orleans. No, forget New Orleans. Those three places, and I, because I'm biased because I was born there, I'd say Virginia also. But those areas, oh, man, they got some root workers that make your head spin. So absolutely, this is your axe. And I can confirm what Luciano said, and your car comes up very clearly. The reason for that is because he can't, there's almost like he's worried about going onto your property itself or like laying out by your, you know, doorstep. He's putting it right under the tires of your car. He's dressing your door handles. And I'm getting the sense, powders and dirt. Watch for it. You'll see the dirt. You'll see it. He's been mixing the powders with the dirt, and he's been laying them out for you. So now, you know, counter that stuff. Jinx killer, jinx killer, jinx killer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Jinx Killer is a good one. We always say cleanse the car, but you also do need to put some Jinx Killer up. This is a formula that's designed to literally kill anything that's been put out for you to touch or walk in over. It's very powerful stuff, and it just basically destroys spell work. That's what it's there for, Jinx Killer. And I'm going to say one other thing about this car and about why the car. You know, people, when they attack you through your weakest elements. And you said you've also been having trouble with people at work who you usually get along with. Well, your weakness is speeding and inattention. We know that through the car, how you got these different things. And you need to understand that when someone wants to attack you, they know you. They're going to twist that part of your mind that is your less than perfect self, and they're going to magnify it. Okay? So you want to do some calming and take some deep breaths here. While this thing is on, until you get this Jinx off of you, you want to make sure that you don't speed, that you just take it easy. You make yourself a little mantra, you know, take it slow and easy. Just whatever it is you need to do, because you're being ramped up. You're being kind of hyperized a little bit, because that is your weakness. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And it's so true. I'm not surprised that he's working on you through your car, because let me, you know, like I said, that area, very old school workers, and one of the oldest ways of working on someone was to hit them through their cattle, through their carriage, through their horse. You know, there's all sorts of powwow tricks, all sorts of hoodoo tricks aimed at making your horse go lame, you know. And nowadays, we don't have horses, but we have our cars, and that's what you're going to do. You're going to lay those powders out, and you're going to get your speeding ticket, you know. So watch out for that.
So Zenrez asked, what are some good jinx-removing baths? Well, uncrossing is good for, you know, taking off cross conditions. But if a real jinx has been laid, you would want to use Jinx Killer. It's a good one. And of course, Chinese wash is very good for clearing up old messes and any kind of mess, new, old, or anything. And I'm not sure who it was. I think it was Aida recommended, and pardon me, everyone has scrolled on here, but I think it was Aida who recommended incense in the car, because you don't want to be washing your car. You got all kinds of upholstery and metal and all these different things. Incensing the car is one of the easiest ways to get the inside clean. And so you could use any kind of purification incense, such as uncrossing, or even frankincense with a good prayer will work. And Nadja had a good recommendation, too, which is to put a hamsa hand or a mirror in the car. This is why people hang an eye bead, a hamsa hand, an eye in hand bead, or a little mirror, bagua mirror, from the rear view window post. Don't make it so big that the cops say, hey, you're obstructing your vision. You just want a little something. Hang it in your car to keep this from coming back. And another one that will take off old Bafana said rue water. Take dried rue and leave in holy water a week and sprinkle all around the car. All of these are good. Reverend Dr. Sweet said vandal root parter in the car will cause trouble. Well, yes, and it'll stink like hell, and we don't want to get into that one. And Zenrez asked, should the charms be anointed? Absolutely. You want to take those little anti-evil eye things. You can smoke them with a spond. You can wash them in rue water. You can dress them with Van oil. Van oil is used to dress and anoint any kind of amulet that you're going to hang up. It's just it cleans them, it freshens them, it makes them work for you. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
All righty. So I hope we've covered this. And Nagashiva in the board said, glue them to the outside of the car. Yeah, well, you know, we have an art car. We have anti-evil eye things glued all over our car. Check it out, luckymojo.com/mojocar.html. And, But I'd use the Jinx Killer on this one. That would be really a good one.
Yeah.
All righty. And Conjurman Ali said the same thing, Jinx Killer. Okay. All right. Thank you very much for the call, and I hope to see you clean up your car and get out of these situations. Okay. So, Miss Tammy Lee,
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and I'm just making sure that that Mojo Car link is up there for us here, and it certainly is. And just a reminder also to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it a lot. To be selected to be on the air, sign up to the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and root work consultation with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com, and this week's special guest, Lukianos of Lukianos at Lukianos.com from Baltimore, Maryland. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. Now let's go to our callers who've signed up to be on the air, and our next caller is calling from area code 570 in Pennsylvania. 570 in Pennsylvania. This is Full Moon Conjure. Are you there, caller?
Yes.
Great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to read the brief description of your situation. And she writes, I have a full-time tro business in home, landlord selling the home. Will I be moving or will the new people rent to me and accept my business? Turning it back over to you.
Boy, that's a straight-up question. Hi, Full Moon Conjure.
Yes. Okay. I hear a lot of the long ones, so I tried to make it real short.
Yeah, well, that was a good one. That was a real good one.
Well, we
now,
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to do, because the question involves your tarot business, I'm going to read
that's
tarot.
What I'm worried about.
Yeah, but I'm just going to read tarot because, hey, it takes tarot to answer tarot, okay?
Yes.
So I'm going to do a 3-card cut. May I ask what sign of the zodiac you are?
Pisces.
Pisces, a good sign
yes.
for a tarot reader. Very
thank
mystical
you.
People, the Pisces. Okay. What I'm getting here is not so good, baby. I'm getting the first card I have here is, it's a card that tells me that they don't have your best interest at heart. And the card is the card called the Seven of Swords. And this is a person who is sneaking around, stealing, lying, going behind your back. Something is going on behind your back that you don't know about. And it may not be the most evil intention thing, but it sure doesn't look good. And it says to me that it may be things will be revealed later, but somebody wants that house out from under you. There's something else going on here, and it doesn't look good. It just doesn't look real good. Next card I have is a card that is called the High Priestess. Well, that would be you, and the High Priestess is a lady on a throne, and she is between two pillars, the pillars of dark and light, day and night. She has a multicultural approach to life. She has a triple moon crown of the new moon, the full moon, the old moon on her head. She has a cross of Christianity on her bosom. She has the scroll of the Torah or Judaism on her lap. She has the crescent moon of Islam at her feet, and she's dressed in a garment of water. And she has pomegranates and palms behind her. She's wise and she's compassionate and very loving. This tells me that no matter what happens, you will retain your balance. But you're going to be in a situation here where you're kind of balanced between dark and light, night and day. You're going to have to really maintain your balance here, use all your wisdom. It does not look good because it looks like they are doing something behind your back. I just can't, you know what I'm saying? It's like you're going to be, it's not the greatest card, let's just say, for the past there, for the behind the scenes. And then the card of the future tells me that it may come to pass that you end up in a better place. It may come to pass that this thing can be salvaged, but I'm not seeing it, really. I'm seeing that you may have to prepare to leave. The card is called the Four of Wands, and this is a card that shows a canopy with fruit decorating it, four poles, and it's outside of Castle, and there are two people rejoicing, holding up fruits and leaves and rejoicing to God, and there's people behind them having kind of a party, and there's a new bridge has been built, and they're kind of dedicating this bridge. It's all covered with flowers, and the bridge is from the castle to the public world. And so this says to me that whatever's going to happen will be resolved by summer. That's when the fruits and vegetables are out, you know, this rejoicing harvest thing is. But it also says to me that it may be that you will find a better place, something that's actually going to be more accessible to the public, a place where you could not only read Tarot but meet with people in other ways. Do you get where I'm going with that?
Yeah, it's making a lot of sense. In fact, the Seven of Swords in the past, when we first moved here, we've been here 7 years, and we first moved, we were told it was stable, and then right after we moved, she started to get ready to sell it and to remodel it, and we think she may have known when, you know, we were moving in that was going to happen, and that we were, like, lied to, you know, and that
lied
there was,
to.
Like, something
deceitful
yep,
going. Yep, 7 years
saying,
ago,
yeah.
Yep,
about 7 years. As soon as we moved in, then she said, oh, we're getting ready to remodel it and sell it. But had she had told us, like, the month before, we probably wouldn't have moved in if we knew that it was going to be sold, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And yet, well, we noticed that 7 years later, here you still are. So,
yeah.
Her story does not really match reality, it would appear.
Yeah. Now, the High Priestess in the middle, though, tells me that you have the strength of character and the grace to withstand this. It's not going to ruin you no matter what happens.
No, it won't.
That's what I was worried about, because I have the business, which is the most important. If I didn't work from home, you know, and I had to move, you know, it wouldn't be a big deal because I would still have my job, but this I would have to find somewhere that would rent to me, and then accept I have two cats, and then, like, you know, not care that I do the business out of here. It's not a big business. I mean, I only read a few people a day. I don't have, like, a storefront, but a lot of people would have to accept me moving in and then me having a business out of the house and, like, customers coming in and out, and that's what I worry that, and I'm afraid they're going to sell it right out from under us, and then I'm not going to have anywhere to take people. As long as
you're
it's salvaged, I'll be fine, you know, and I've been lighting a lot of Lucky Mojo candles, the house blessing and the house blessing oils, and cleaning it with Chinese floor wash, trying to do everything.
It's going to come down to slowing things down.
Mm-hmm.
I hear those little
dings. Lukianos, what are you dinging up there?
Well, I've been throwing Obi as you've been reading Miss Cat, and as Full Moon Conjure was talking about her situation. And despite the lies that appear to have characterized your interactions with your current landlord in the past, I would say you're going to turn out fine. Every question that I asked about, well, will she be able to continue doing what she's doing? Strong yes. Will she be able to stay in the place where she is? Interestingly enough, yes. Is there stuff going on behind your back? Yes to that too. But the people who are doing it, they're actually in a position where they may end up being hoisted on their own swords.
Mm-hmm.
I would say keep your cool, mm-hmm. keep your eyes open, and, you know, don't succumb to the anxiety, because what I heard in, as you were talking about, you know, what you've been worrying about and the real work that you've been doing, you know, to keep yourself on an even keel, to keep your space cleansed, to keep your business upbeat and moving forward, you're doing all the right things. So some of this anxiety that you're feeling is just that is just anxiety. And you can recognize it, claim it, and then let it go.
Right.
You are on stronger footing than you realize. And you do, at the end of the day, have what you need to have in order to take yourself further and in order to weather, you know, whatever your landlord or the person that she may or may not end up selling to can send your way. I would not put so much energy into anxiety and worry. You're going to come up, you know, on your feet and walking in the right, you know, regardless of what they send at you.
Mm-hmm.
Not to put it too strongly, but that does seem to be the pattern that I'm seeing.
Yeah. So, Ollie, can you give her some ideas about how to slow down things so that she can find her
footing? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We were talking about old school conjurers from North Carolina earlier. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to teach you a trick that I actually learned from a North Carolina conjurer. And it's just perfect for this idea. Well, I love working with the graveyard dirt. So I want you to go to the graveyard to either an ancestor or a soldier, a cop or a security guard. Gather the dirt, pay for it, mix it with vandal root. Now, I use vandal root. Vandal root is a crossing herb. It's worked with spirits, but it also has worked with thieves because of the term vandal. And whenever that Seven of Swords comes up, I always add a little bit of vandal root to the work. Mix that vandal with your graveyard dirt and place it in the four corners of your house. On the outside, though, don't put it on the inside, otherwise your house is going to stink up a storm, okay? So put it on the outside, the four corners of your house, and what it literally will do is it will set that spirit as a guardian who will keep away buyers, will keep away the people who are trying to sell this house from right under you, and will guard your house. Then, in the process, what that will do is that will give you time to do drawing work. You can do sweetening work on the new buyer. You can do lodestone work to bring you your ideal home where they will be comfortable with you doing a tarot business right out of it. My recommendation is that you do have the opportunity, with root work, you can really keep this house if you want it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I personally would slow things down and then find a place where you're not going to have this issue. We're not going to have people trying to buy and sell things from right underneath you. Aren't going to have an issue. That's what I would do, slow things down. But if you were really intent, you can keep this house. My recommendation to slow things down is vandal root with that graveyard dirt. It'll put out that little sentry for you, and it'll work wonders. Then devil's shoestring. Devil's shoestring is often used to tie up the devil. Now, most people use it to tie up evil, but what people don't understand is it's also used for things like gambling and money. Because the idea is that whenever someone is trying to take your luck, trying to take your place, that they're doing the devil's work. So you put nine devil shoestrings right on, you know, in the pathway leading up to your house, and what that'll do is it'll tie up their efforts to devilish efforts to steal that house from right underneath you. And I think that the combination of those two works will buy you enough time so that your candle work, you know, your house blessing and your money drawing and your attraction work can take effect.
Mm-hmm. I'd also do one other thing. When you read for people, they come to your house, do you give them any kind of a handout, a little a flyer, a business card, anything to take with them?
No.
I want you to get that made. I want you to get something like that, and I want you to start sending into the world with them something, a note. You know, these were your cards for today. That's what we old-time people used to call a tick sheet. You tick off what their cards are for the day. Or a business card, you know, maybe a little special. You have seven readings, you get the next one at half price, whatever. I want you to give them a piece of paper that has a meaning to them, that they will keep that paper, and I want those pieces of paper for you to dress those pieces of paper with something that will send out your request for a better place with more honest landlord into the world. Okay?
Thank you so much.
All righty. So that will be spread everywhere. We need a better place, okay, because you need to find someplace with an honest landlord.
Thank
All right.
you.
I agree.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Good luck to you.
You too. Thank
okay.
you.
All righty. Well, Miss Tammy Lee, time to wrap it up.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Lukianus of Lukianus.com in Baltimore, Maryland, for being our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers this week. We invite you to join us next week when we will have another special guest from AIR. Once again, we've come to the end to another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from triplecrownconjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week
At the same time, when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye, and a special thank you to Lukianos. We love to hear the little ding of the obies, and
oh,
we hope you'll join us again.
It's been such a pleasure to be here.
Great. And thank you, Ali. And for those who are tuned in live, the chat room will continue for a few more minutes as we talk in chat after the show is over. So good night, everyone.
Good night. Hope to see everyone on
good
the
night.
Chat.
Good night.
Yeah, and,
bye-bye.
And next week, too.